We sure needed it. Boy, that ground is getting dry and hard. And so thank God for that. We're going to be in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. As I was telling you last week, this chapter is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about the Word of God, all about the testimonies, the commandments, the Word of God. All of those different words are used to describe the written Word of God, and so that must tell us something about what God thinks is important. In the Bible, if he gives us the longest chapter, and it's all about the Word of God. And so it's divided up into 22 sections. Every section has a Hebrew word or a Hebrew letter before it. And last week we looked at the first one. I don't know if we'll go through all of them, but we're going to look at the second portion of Psalm 119, which would be verses 9 through 16. And mainly we're going to be focused on verse number 14 will be our main focus. We're going to allude a little bit back to the other verses that are surrounding that verse. But mainly it's going to be from verse number 14. And that is the value of the Word of God. The value of the Word of God. I don't know what you count as most valuable in your life. I hope that it would be the Word of God. But that's what it ought to be. It ought to be the Word of God. It must be the most valuable possession that we own. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the rain that you've given to us. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you give to us to assemble together and to look into your Word. I pray that you'd help me tonight to preach and to say what needs to be said. I pray that you would give us all ears and eyes to see and hear and give us hearts to understand and receive your Word, and we'll thank you for it. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll go ahead and read verses 9 to 16. It says in verse number 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." He says in verse number 14, he says that he has rejoiced in the way of the testimonies of the Bible or the Word of God as much as in all riches. So he was like saying, if I had all the riches in the world and I had the Word of God, I would choose the Word of God over all the riches of the world, and it would bring me as much joy as all the riches of the world. That's what he's saying right there. That's a profound statement. I want you to picture yourself in your house this evening. You're in your bedroom. You've got all your things around you, your possessions. Earlier that day, or a few moments ago, you had been in the kitchen. You'd been cooking something on the stove. And you left the stove unattended. You went back to your room to do something. You're in your room and you smell smoke. You know that something's burning in the house. You leave your bedroom, you go out and you look into the kitchen, and the kitchen's on fire. The flames have come up and they've gotten a hold of a towel or something like that, and it's got to the roof and it's got to the wall and it's got to the curtains, and you know the house is going up. There's not going to be anything that you can do about it. You only have a few seconds, maybe a minute or two, to grab some things and get out of the house. I'd like to ask you this evening, I don't know if you've ever thought about that scenario before I have, what would you grab on the way out? What exactly would you grab as you were going out of the house, that most valuable possession, man, you cannot live without it. You've got to have it. Maybe it's some photo albums. You can't go back and take those photos again of your family whenever you were kids or your kids were younger. You can't redo that. Maybe it's some electronics or clothes or something like that that you're going to grab on the way out. But what would be most valuable to you? A man named Foster Huntington conducted an experiment called the Burning House Project to see what people would grab on the way out of a burning house. He went around to all different kinds of families, all different kinds of socioeconomic settings in the country and even outside of the country. And he wanted them to take a picture of the things that they loved most that they would grab on the way out of a burning house. And what he found was that what people grabbed and what people would take on the way out of a burning house really said a lot about their character and about who they were and about what they loved, what was most valuable to them. I've got a list here of two or three people here that and what they took and their names and ages, just to give you an idea. One young boy's name was Brody, and he was age 6. He's from New Hampshire, and he said he's just a kid. But he said that he would get a Wedgehead. I don't even know what that is. A Wedgehead, a Garfield cup, a Lego helicopter, a Bumblebee transformer chip, a yellow belt, a piggy bank, a wallet, and a Lego camera. That's what he would get on the way out. He was 6 years old. Another woman named Alejandro Souza, she's 36, and she's from Venezuela, and she's a technology consultant. She said, everything is recoverable except for my daughter. That's what she said that she would take out of the house. One more. Young woman named Christy Dahlstrom, she's from Germany, she's 27. She's a literature teacher. She said that she would get her great aunt's violin and bow, a U.S. passport, photos of her siblings, 2 letters, a journal, her Bible, Rickley's Book of Hours, T.S. Eliot's collected poems, her MacBook Pro, and her black flip-flops. And she sent that picture of that guy, of all those items. Those were the most valuable things that those people wanted if they were in their burning house to take out with them. You and I must figure out what is most valuable to us in this life, and that's a good way to figure that out. What would you most take? The psalmist said he would have much more joy in the word of God rather than all the riches of the world. You could pile them all up and give them to me. He says the way of the testimonies of God is the most valuable thing that he has, more than anything else in the world. The testimonies of God. The testimonies of God or is God's word about himself. It is God's estimation of himself. It is what God says about himself and about mankind. You and I must consider that valuable. Tonight I want to give you 3 reasons why the Word of God is so valuable from just this verse number 14. 3 reasons. The first reason is because of the wisdom that is found in the Word of God. You find wisdom in the Word of God, but you can't find anywhere else. As a matter of fact, there is no wisdom outside of the Word of God. Number 2, the significance of the Word of God. And number 3, the provision that the Bible provides for us. Number 1, it's the wisdom that you find in the Word of God. He says in verse number 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. In the way of thy testimonies. Not just the Word, but the way of the Word, the way of God, the wisdom that is found in the book of God. I have rejoiced in those testimonies. So the Word of God is valuable because of the wisdom of God that it contains. The psalmist rejoiced in this, and he's rejoicing that he can know the nature and essence of who God is. Not just that he is the Creator, not just that he made all things, but he can find out some pretty intimate things about God. He can know what God hates and what God loves and what God requires. He can know all of those things. You and I must know that. I mean, wouldn't you hate it to go all the way throughout your life and got to the end of your life and then you're going to meet your Creator and you don't know anything about Him or what He requires? You've just kind of made up some figment of your imagination about who God is? Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Yes, they do sometimes. People do that. So we can find wisdom in the Word of God. God reveals Himself in detailed and intimate ways. Why God is and how God is very important to us. Last month, my family and I went to Dallas, and we went to go over there and visit Michael, and we spent a few days. We stayed in Irving, but we decided to go to Dallas for a little while. My oldest daughter, Paige, was not with us because she had to go to school, but we decided we were going to go to downtown Dallas for one of the days. We decided we're going to go down, we're going to see the JFK Museum, where the sixth floor depository is, the book depository, where I forget his name now, Lee Harvey Oswald shot JFK. And it's downtown Dallas, right in the heart of Dallas. And Dallas is a big place. I've only driven through there, and I don't even like doing that because the traffic is just so thick. I mean, you think you're going to Lubbock, and you think that's a big town, but then you go to Dallas, and then you come back through Lubbock, and you're thinking, no, Lubbock's a little small town compared to Dallas. So we decided that we were going to go down there. Well, we left, and I had in my hand my iPhone with the directions to that place. There's no way that I'm going to downtown Dallas without some navigation in my hand. I'm not going to take a map and try to fumble around with a map while I'm trying to drive or have my wife read directions to me. How in the world did we ever survive without smartphones? I don't know. But we did. I remember we had to use paper maps. They probably don't even sell those anymore. I don't know. I used to use an atlas. I don't want to get off the subject, but I used to use an atlas before we had smartphones, so I guess I do know a little bit about it. What am I talking about? We were going to downtown Dallas, and I'm not leaving without my smartphone because that thing tells me step by step, turn by turn directions on how to get there. There's no way I'm powering that down. I'm not going to turn that off. It was the most important thing in my life at that moment for the task that I had to accomplish. I needed that smartphone. That was the most valuable possession that I had. And we had a good time, and we saw all the things that we wanted to see. But did you know that many people today go throughout their life without the handbook, without looking at the directions that God has given them for life to make good and right decisions about God? They do that all the time. They disregard the Word of God and think they don't need that, that it's not important, that they have their own philosophies, that they have their own wisdom. They don't need that stuff. And then they get down to some place in their life where they've made a mess of it because they didn't listen to God. And they say, how in the world did I end up here? Because you didn't listen to God. You didn't get the book. You didn't read the Word of God and count it as valuable in your life. It has the wisdom for us. It's the guidebook for our lives to keep us from sin and keep us from making wrong turns and wrong directions. There's a danger in not knowing the ways of God. Why? Because our ways are not God's ways. God is much different and much higher than we are. Way different. I would not want a God that thought just like I did. He wouldn't be a God. But yet today, we have people, swaths and multitudes of people who just dream up a God of their own thinking and their own imagination. And they think up this God that is just about like they are, and He would make the same decisions that they would, and He would do the same things that they would out of their own sinful imagination. He would be a reflection and would look quite similar to us if we did that ourselves. But God gives us the truth about Himself in His Word. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 50, about the children of Israel and how they had gone into apostasy and left God. God said about those people, He says, you thought I was altogether just like you were. You thought I was a creature just like you. But God is not. God is the Creator, and He's much different than we are. And it's a dangerous, dangerous thing whenever you start trying to imagine a God that's just like you. As a matter of fact, You can create a God after your own image. You put the cart before the horse. God created us in His image. We don't create Him in our image. Again, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we need to know God, and we need to know Him in an intimate way, and we need to know all about Him. Don't go through life without cracking open a Bible and just seeing what God has to say about Himself. Don't do that. Study the Word of God. Find out about it. You can know. You can know about what God requires. The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. Without true wisdom, you have nothing. I don't care if you have a big mansion. I don't care if you have a fancy car. I don't care if you have all of the riches of the world. If you don't have wisdom, you have nothing. Amen. Nothing. So when we come to realize and recognize the reality of God, we will start to see the significance of the Word of God, and that's why it's so valuable as well, because the Word of God is significant. We see that in verse number 14 again. He says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." You see the significance that the psalmist places on the Word of God right there? He says, it's more valuable than all the riches of the world. Do you understand the treasure that you have in your lap with the Word of God? That's how significant it is. It's more valuable than anything in the world. He compares the Word of God to all the riches that are in the world. Many people make it their life's ambition to make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. I hope that God blesses you and makes you all rich. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the Word of God. Think of Mark Zuckerberg, and he's worth $64.8 billion. Do you think that's his most important thing in his life? I'll bet it is. He's 35 years old. He's a CEO of Facebook. 35 years old. Man, you talk about some significance in his life, it's money. Money's his significance. I looked up what he believed. He was raised Jewish. Then he dabbled around in atheism, then in Buddhism, and his wife is into Buddhism. Now he's quoted as saying that religion has something positive to offer and is valid. Religion, apart from the truth of the Word of God, is useless. Amen. It's deceptive. Yeah. It's worthless. Religion has to be coupled with the truth, not tradition, but truth. But truth. A lot of people take the Word of God with a grain of salt. They say, well, hey, we can take it or leave it. I don't have to listen to that Bible. It's just another religious book like all the other books. The Bible's not that way. The Bible's not that way. Either it's true or it's not true, because the Bible is filled with historical facts. And either they're historical facts or they're lies, one or the other. You see, it's not just a book of religious quotes. It is the truth. Amen. And you can't take it or leave it. Amen. You must accept it or reject it. And if you reject it, it is to your own damnation. How much significance does the Word of God hold in your life? Do you count it as the most valuable possession? The psalmist placed the Word of God above the name of God. The name that is above every name. He placed the Word of God above that. He said in Psalm 138 and verse number 2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." That's how significant the Word of God is. God has elevated and magnified His Word above His name, because without His Word, His name is worthless. A God that does not keep His Word, a God that does not speak to His creation, is not worth worshiping and listening to. And the Christian religion is the only one that has a God who speaks to His creation. The only one. There are all kinds of gods out there, but none of them speak to their creation like our God does. The reason that the Word of God is so valuable is because it is significant. It is significant. David estimates the worth of the word of God to be more to be desired than they are gold, yea, than much fine gold. Amen. They can convert the soul. They can save your soul. The most valuable thing that you own, the word of God can convert that soul. Man, be a lot more valuable than a pile of gold. I don't care how good the gold is. The people of God all throughout history have always treasured and esteemed the word of God. We found out this morning from the book of Job that Job esteemed the words of his mouth more than his necessary food. He said, man, I'd rather keep the word of God. I'd rather obey the commandments of God than I would to eat food at my table. That's how valuable the word of God was to Job. He esteemed it. He loved it. He delighted in it. It's significant. Insignificant. The wicked do not count the word of God as significant. They throw it away like a piece of garbage. They throw it away behind their back and say, hey, we don't need that. We've got our own ways. Not significant to them. But it's valuable to us. It's valuable to us. The word of God is significant, number three, because of its provision. What does it provide for us? He says in verse number 14, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies more than all riches. What can you do with riches? What can you do with money? We can make a pretty good living for yourself or provide for yourself in all kinds of different ways, can't you? But you know, the word of God can provide everything that you need for your spiritual life. Just as riches can abundantly provide everything that you need in your physical life, so the word of God provides all the spiritual nutrients that you need for yourself. Amen. The word of God has the true provision. I'd like to direct your story to the rich man in Luke chapter number 16. He was rich, had everything that he needed. He had a nice house. Had nice clothes, had servants, fared sumptuously, the Bible says, every day. But then death came. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He rejected the word of God all of his life, but he had everything that he needed as far as the physical realm goes. And he got there, and he still thought that people would serve him. That people would take care of him. He says, oh, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He wanted Lazarus to serve him still, but he couldn't buy his way out of hell. Those riches couldn't do anything for him. Could do nothing for him. He says, well, I have five brethren. Send them to my five, send Lazarus from the dead to my five brethren that he may testify to them so they don't come to this place of torment. I don't want him to come here. Couldn't buy himself a favor. You know what Abraham's response was to him? He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, the word of God is sufficient to convert them. And if they don't listen to the word of God, they're not going to listen though one rose from the dead. The Word of God has everything that we need for our conversion. The Scriptures are enough. That rich man says, hey, they need a special revelation. They need something else besides the Word of God. And Abraham said, no. No, the Word of God is enough. People today are looking for a special revelation, aren't they? They want God to speak audibly. They want to speak in tongues, or they want to do something else. They want something special. But yet they have a Bible. All you need to do is read the Bible. If you want to hear God speak, open up the Bible and read it and study it. That's all you need. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which you would do well to take heed. The Scriptures are enough. So why is the word of God so significant, and why does it provide for us? Well, it gives us everything that we need. Man needs salvation, and the word of God can save your soul, it says in James chapter number 1. Riches may provide some kind of temporal comfort or temporal pleasure for you. But what about your soul? The Word of God will convert your soul. You can't buy favors from God. You can't use God as a means to an end. You can't use God as a stepping stone. You have to obey the gospel and believe the Word of God. Man needs salvation. Man needs regeneration. And the Word of God is the seed that regenerates man. You cannot be saved apart from the Word of God. Amen. You cannot. I don't care how good you are or how good I am or how religious someone might be. If they don't hear the gospel, they cannot be saved and regenerated. There is no new life outside of the Word of God. The seed of the Word of God is what regenerates. Because man is dead in trespasses and sins. He's not alive to God. He's not a good person. He does not understand God. He does not seek after God. He has none of those attributes. He's born from Adam and he needs a new birth. And that is the Word of God, the seed that is planted in him. Man needs revival as well. Sometimes we grow cold in our love for the Lord, don't we? You know what we need? It's not anything real special. Of course, the Bible is special, but we're always looking for something else that will revive us, this special feeling or thing that we need. No, what we need is the Word of God. That's what we need. If you want revival in your soul, get into the Word of God. You think about in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had gone into apostasy and they no longer served God the way that they ought to. And they had lost the Word of God. They had lost the book. And they were not reading it, obeying its commandments. And one day they were cleaning out the temple and they found the book. And they brought the book to the king, King Josiah. Amen. And the king read the book. Yeah. And he said, "Man, I have found the book. I have found the book." Have you found the book here this evening? Have you found the book? Man, once they read that Word of God and people heard what it said, they had a big revival there because of the Word of God. Man needs revival. It is sufficient for every man's spiritual need. Man needs comfort and hope. We live in a sin-cursed world, sin-cursed earth, sin-cursed body. And the promises that are contained in the Word of God will give us hope and comfort in this sinful world. It is sufficient for everything that we need. So that's three reasons why the Word of God is so valuable. Now I'd like to ask you this evening, what will you take with you when you leave this life? You're going to leave one of these days. You're going to pass this life. And you know what? There's nothing that you can take with you. You can't take your clothes. You can't take your house. You can't take your bank account. You can't take anything with you. What are you going to grab on the way out? What are you going to be clawing for on the way out? What are you going to be holding on to? Because that house isn't going with you. Your bank account's not going with you. Wouldn't it be good to have some words of the Word of God on your lips as you're passing this life? Thinking about the promises of God as you had memorized those verses. And man, it gave you hope as you were leaving this life. Yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior because the Bible tells me so. Wouldn't it be great to have that on your lips instead of grabbing for something else? Hey, I was a good person. Hey, I had a nice house. Hey, I had some great friendships. No, you have the Word of God. The Word of God. What are you going to be grabbing for? Three characteristics of those who value the Word of God and find joy in it. We read those in our text. Number one, they have a desire to learn it. They have a desire to learn it. He says in verse number 12, he says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." He found the Word of God is valuable, and he prayed to God, and he said, "God, will you teach me your statutes? I want to know them." Why did he ask God to teach him his statutes? Because God is the author of the book. Those who highly value the Word of God will ask God to teach them his word. He wants to know about it. He valued the Word of God. Number two, very quickly, they will memorize it. They'll memorize it. They will commit it to memory. Verse number 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You know, David, I believe he was the author of this psalm. If not, whoever wrote it was actively engaged in memorizing the Word of God and hiding it in his heart. Because you know what? The Word of God pays dividends on down the road. Yeah. Kind of like when you make a deposit in the bank and you draw interest and it becomes more valuable as time goes on. That's the same way with the Word of God. Man, you hide it in your heart right now, it's going to pay dividends later on down the road. Might keep you from sin, might keep you from harm, might keep you from making a bad decision that you shouldn't have made because you hid the Word of God in your heart. And man, it's paying dividends on down the road. You find it valuable, memorize it. Learn it. Number three, we make it a point to meditate. He says in verse number 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. He said, man, I'm going to think about it long and hard because I find it valuable. I'm not going to fill up my mind with a bunch of garbage that's going to corrupt my mind because those things aren't as valuable. Those things aren't valuable to me. The Word of God is valuable. So it's going to fill up my mind and my space of my mind, and I'm going to think about it because it's valuable to me. What a treasure that we have in the Word of God. How valuable is it to you? Is it up real high on the priority list, number one, or maybe number 10, 20, or whenever you can get to it? Hey, we ought to make it the most valuable thing. You convert your soul, save your life. Can't do without the Word of God. All right, that's the end of the message this evening. So we're not going to have an invitation.